The words from 1 Corinthians that we heard this morning have been embroidered on many a pillow and a wall hanging. They have been read at many a wedding. They are words we love to love because they are words about love. You've heard them again and again, and I invite you to hear a couple of those verses yet again. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Yes, that's what love is at its best. That's what we want to feel. That's what we want to celebrate. But friends, if we're honest, we all know that love isn't quite that easy. Love isn't really the stuff of embroidered decorations and honeymoon moments. Love isn't the stuff of Hallmark cards and romantic movies. The reality is that love can be difficult. Love takes commitment to do what you don't always feel. And even though we don't always like to talk about that reality, it is actually important to do so. And maybe it's most important when we're blind to it, when love is easy and when it does feel good. This isn't about ruining the moment or bursting anyone's bubble. But it is about being real and also about reminding each other that even when it doesn't feel like all is right with the world, even when it doesn't feel easy, love is still possible. Whenever I do a wedding, I always say something like this: there will be days when it will be easier to be irritable than patient. There will be days when it will be easier to be resentful than kind. There will be days when it will be hard not to be envious of the other commitments in your spouse's life, not to be rude when you are frustrated or disappointed. For love to really work, we must remember that it's not something to be taken for granted, but something that must be cherished. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but it's something that is a choice that we make each day. I remind couples that sometimes it is the simple fact that they have the same address on their driver's license that causes them to go home to each other at the end of the day. Those of you who have been married for a while, you know what I'm talking about, right? Right? This isn't just me. This isn't the fun stuff of love. It's not the stuff we like to talk about. You don't find a Valentine's card that says, "I guess I'll come home tonight because our driver's license says so," right? But it's the reality. Love is work. Love can be a challenge. And this isn't just true about romantic love between two people, but it is true about love in the broader community as well. After all, we remember that when Paul penned these words, he was not writing a wedding homily. These words are what comes next, after what we read last week from 1 Corinthians. So let's pause again, just with a few quick reminders of what we read here. The book that we know as 1 Corinthians was a letter written from Paul to the Christian community at the city of Corinth, a congregation he had established. The Christian community was in the midst of conflict. They were having people take sides based on who their favorite teacher was. They had people who were giving higher honor to those who exhibited a few certain spiritual gifts. There was division and discord in this congregation, and Paul got word of it. So what we read is his response, his encouragement, his calling them back to their better selves. So last week we read chapter 12, in which Paul used the image of the body to talk about the value of each and every one, to lift up the way those we are less likely to recognize actually often are the ones who are the most important. After that conversation about spiritual gifts and the importance of all the members of the body of Christ, Paul goes on with the words that Mark read for us today. And you can hear that connection because he began talking about the spiritual gifts. Hear those first couple of verses again. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. See, we're most familiar with that part that I referenced earlier, the list of things that love is and love is not. Love is patient, love is kind, it's not boastful and envious, etc., etc. That's the part that's easy to romanticize, but it's so important to remember where this shift to talking about love began. While people were fighting about whose gifts were more impressive, who made a bigger difference in the body of Christ, while they were trying to show off with their abilities and their faith, Paul called them back to the core. Paul reminded them that it didn't matter what they did, or how big they did it, or even how impressed others were with it, if love was not at the heart of their actions, it was nothing. That's how important love is to the life of faith. And friends, that's a challenge. We're all civilized human beings enough to know that we should smile and say hello to the stranger or even our enemy, but we also know how to do that without love. We know how to smile at another person while bad-mouthing them under our breath, don't we? We got that down. We know how to look the part of the saint on the outside, but to do it out of responsibility or to impress someone or simply because our parents taught us to, rather than letting those actions come from love. And yet, Paul makes it clear that even the most impressive acts, from having outward gifts that cause people to be amazed, to giving everything away, to even moving mountains because our faith is so strong, even the most impressive gifts don't matter if love is not at their core. So what do we do with this? Because after all, again, if we're honest, and even good church people, we're allowed to be honest about these things, this is often a struggle. No matter how much we watch the example of Jesus, no matter how much we hear the teachings of the Bible, no matter how many times we say the word love in worship, and today we've said it a lot, the reality is that sometimes people just get on our nerves. Sometimes people anger us. And sometimes we should be angry with them. Sometimes people don't seem worthy of love. And in times such as these, when we are, as a people, so divided, even loving our friends and our family, our neighbors, our fellow church members can sometimes seem difficult. The additional instruction that we know is there in the Bible, even if not in this passage, to love our enemies seems nearly impossible. So how do we really learn to love? Well, the reality is, there is no magic pill. There is no one prayer that we can pray and suddenly be turned into people who are so sincerely full of love for everyone we encounter. But perhaps there are simpler things we can do. We can remind ourselves, and if you're like me, it's a reminder that needs to happen more than once, that love isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Sometimes it's that. But that more than that, it is a choice that we make about how to act toward and for another. It isn't about liking someone or approving of their actions, but it is ultimately about willing and working for good, even for them. And we can just keep trying to put ourselves in a position for love. Because see, that's what love is really all about. Even though we talk about it most often in interpersonal relationships, love is really about a position from which we live. It's not just about a feeling between us and another person. And so if we find ways to root ourselves in God's love and to live from that place, then we will feel the impact of it. Not just on how we feel about our spouse or our friend or even our enemy, but it will impact everything. It will impact how we interact with individuals and with our communities. It will impact how we do business, how we live in this world, on this planet, how we use our resources, from our money to our time to our power to our votes. It will impact everything. And friends, sometimes the best we can do is just keep trying. You might remember in the movie Finding Nemo, the character Dory sings a simple little song learned in childhood. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. For us, the call is just keep loving, loving, loving. And the reminders we heard from Paul are important. When we love, we choose patience, we choose kindness. We let go of envy and arrogance. We don't demand our own way. Whether we feel it or not, as followers of Jesus, we are called to just keep loving, to act ourselves into believing, until finally, after choosing it again and again, love becomes our reality. We are to take on the challenge and to just keep loving until love becomes the position from which we live our lives. May it be so.